welcome back to the Esquire Q&A podcast. This week, we have a Dubai-based visual artist who's made a name for himself thanks to his own distinctive style and creative process. Gary Young, who also goes by the name Enforce One, is one of the most well-respected street artists working in the UAE and is renowned for his larger-than-life murals and fine attention to detail. Originally from New Zealand, the artist was recently chosen by Glenfiddich as part of its Mavericks DXB program and collaborated with the Story brand in order to reimagine the sleeve that adorns the Grand Couronne packaging, which merges Scottish and French heritage with UAE traditions. We sat down with the artist to discuss the project and the nitty-gritty of his creative process. Hey, Gary, welcome to the Esquire Q&A podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, I suppose the first question is quite a simple one. Where does the name Enforce One come from?
It's supposed to be ironic because when I read the word enforcement, it's always from authority and like military. So when I started tagging and doing graffiti, it's just like makes sense to mold that word the way I want to.
Mm. It's is there always like a, you know, as when you were started kind of tagging, graffitiing, do you get to pick your names? How, what's the culture behind that? Do you pick your names? Do the names develop? Does someone give it to you? Where does that kind of come from?
It's actually really organic, I think. But that's the thing, like even when you're tagging at night, you see other people's name.
Sure.
And you don't know who they are. Mm. And then you meet them in the gallery 2 weeks later. It's like, oh, you're blah, blah, blah. I love that. So everyone's kind of, I think it's just, it's because of, it's that freedom of having this crazy personality, this, you know, this other character that you put on.
Mm.
And that's very much, you know, the culture of street art, graffiti. You know, that's that street presence and just having your way to make a mark.
Mm.
And you do that in the middle of the night like a ninja. No one knows who you are. You know, and I love that. And I've also got to know a lot of train riders when I traveled to Spain, and you could not tell that the, you know, they paint on trains. They time it with securities and everything. They go like, when they go on a road trip on holidays, they paint trains. And then when you see them, you just like, you don't, because you have this expectation of these rebels and
sure.
It's a character that you play, and I love that. I love that about graffiti.
So who's the, I don't know, how does it differentiate between kind of, you know, Gary and the persona and your kind of artist persona? Or is it the same person just with a different name on it?
I guess it's just having this option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like most people know I'm Gary Young, and you know, but I like the fact that I have this thing that I kind of grown into.
Sure.
And it's been following me throughout my journey as an artist. So yeah, it's just having this option.
When did the, you mentioned the journey, when did the journey start?
Primary school.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
just with like an affiliation to art and drawing,
dad,
or where was the?
My dad.
Okay.
Luckily, you know, I was born in a family of creatives.
Mm-hmm.
I think my mom's super creative in her own way, with you know, literature, and my dad was a sign writer.
Mm.
He was a sign writer back in the 80s.
Okay.
In Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to New Zealand. So I think, yeah, when I was a child, I would just like play with his medium, and you know, I'll be in his workspace and just subliminally, you know, it's just a normal, it's a normal thing.
Sure.
So as a kid, you know, primary school, I start drawing, entering into competitions, and it's almost really spontaneously just like, okay, I want to study this. I want to study things that's got something to do with art. So when I was in high school, I would just, you know, do like a design course or art history. And so just like one thing leads to another because of this like flow. Mm-hmm. And I think, and even when I went to university, I was learning in university, but then I was doing a lot of other stuff that's got something to do with art, like organizing underground exhibitions, group shows, bringing my friends together. Like, kind of, it's very much like, you know, putting on a party, but at the same time, you're bringing artists together because you have this common goal of loving what you do, and you wanna see other people's doing new work. So you put on these exhibitions where everyone gets to shine, mm-hmm. you know, and it's just very spontaneous. And I was lucky to grow up in a place like Auckland. That culture is very prominent and also very encouraging. You know, everyone's like excited mm. for what's happening. You know, every week there's
and quite a supportive culture,
yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah,
but that's a lot of that is what you find, you know, in the counterculture, kind of in countercultural circles. You know,
sure,
it is very much because it's say on fringes, it's on society's fringes. There is that element of kind of camaraderie and and support that's instantly built in. And so from, you know, so that was, you know, you were at school from, if I'm right, 11 years old in New Zealand when your family moved there from Malaysia. Mm-hmm. And then you've been in the Middle East, specifically in Dubai for, is it nearly a decade? 8 years. How is that, what makes somewhere like the Middle East an appealing place for you to want to live and work as an artist?
It's exactly that. I get to work here as an artist.
Sure.
So without overthinking it, I guess the move from New Zealand was quite a spontaneous move in a way. Dubai almost found me. Like, I just unconsciously entered this competition and I won it as a wild card, and they sent me out here.
Nuts.
And when they sent me out here, I had no idea. I just like, this is a free trip. Mm. It's an experience, you know. So I just like loved every minute of it. Remember this event at Media One Hotel?
Sure, yeah.
Tiger Translate.
In the Kai Park?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They decked out this whole two levels of car parks and turned it into like this music festival.
Yeah.
They invited a bunch of artists that won, you know, the competition in your own hometown. Mm-hmm. So it was like I came here for like that festival, and I was lucky to come here and be with people that into the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's a spontaneous move. And then I guess as I'm living here, I'm kind of doing the same thing. I'm just getting to know people here. And pretty much approached it in the same way as when I was a child moving from Malaysia to New Zealand, and just like, okay, I'm here now. What's going on?
Sure.
And the blessed thing for me is I get to work here as a full-time artist, and that's something not to be taken, you know, granted for. So it's just understanding the landscape here, finding out who's here, make friends with people, do what you love, keep pushing. And I guess that's how I'm approaching, you know, living here.
It's funny, actually, because a lot of the stuff that you've mentioned, that kind of that adaptability, that kind of seizing a moment, kind of arriving into somewhere like Dubai and immersing yourself into the culture, finding people that you kind of relate to, that inspire you, can offer opportunity, giving opportunity to other people. A lot of that is very clear why something like the Mavericks DXB program
exactly
works with you. And that's why you kind of worked with Glenfiddich in this program. So tell us a little bit about what attracted you with that project, and tell us a little about what attracted you there.
You know how you get some projects and like, okay, I'm just going to deliver it. Mm. I have to get it done. But this one, I felt like, okay, I'm going to actually really enjoy the process.
Sure.
You know,
because and that process is designing the sleeve for the Grand Corona.
So I guess I was lucky enough to be chosen as the artist to represent this region, which is really, really flattering. But then I want to be sensitive about it because it is Glenfiddich.
Sure.
And, you know, you got to respect living in the Middle East mm-hmm. as well. But I stopped thinking about that and just went completely creative. And so it was all about the aesthetic. It's about going into the mind state of like, what do I like? Like for someone like me coming from New Zealand, I love nature. I have deep respect, just being here and loving those experiences I had in Liwa Desert, and obsessed with falcons and
nice.
And I read into like the desert rose, and so just finding these elements in a really organic kind of way, and then just think how to put them together, juxtaposition, layering them, and just having this really simple way of like putting this design together, and then once I have it, making it more complex, taking things out, editing it, and then trying to think about how I can translate that onto a painting. So yeah, from the sleeve design, it was just all go. Like there's no turning back, and very, very, very much about trusting my intuition.
Do you feel pressure?
You do put pressure on yourself, but that's a good thing, you know, like, because it is a client at the end of the day. It's like, they're going to like it, you know, is it too much, or, you know, that comes to you. But I think I threw that out the window. I just like, okay, they trusted me and gave me a, you know, it's like, here, this is the beautiful brief. Filigree yeah. design by Jean-Charles Desiree. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's about just remixing that, you know. And so I felt a sense of trust from them. And I think that very first mood board I sent, they loved everything. And then there's many pages. So I was like, it was like editing down from what I love from that mood board to a few elements. Mm. And then when I sent them the very first draft of the sleeve design, they felt good about it, you know, very, very little edits.
What was the kind of those few elements that went all the way through? What ones do you think were the most essential ones that you would have fought to keep if?
I'd have this love for birds, so it's the falcon, is the wing. So if you see the design, I really went all out and just grabbing a wing and then just wrapping it around this filigree. Mm-hmm. So for me, that was quite abstract in a way that is like, this is my way of seeing it. And this also can give you a sense that I live in Dubai. Mm-hmm. As an artist, sometimes you just like, you go for the visual elements and then you analyze.
Okay.
You know, those elements. So I actually went in and researched, you know, the symbolism of the falcon, the wings, and you know, the desert, the desert rose, and then this whole theme of resilience just all comes together, and then I was like, this is it. This theme is about resilience, and it's also makes me think about living in a region like this. Mm-hmm. Everyone kind of have this sense of resilience, mm-hmm. so I felt good that, you know, it's kind of came together in a way that's very organic, you know. That pressure went away pretty quickly, you know, with what the client wants and stuff like that.
When you're developing your aesthetic or style or anything, are you constantly, I hate this word, but I use it more often than I'd like, but ideating, right? Creating ideas. Are you constantly just feeding inspiration on a day-to-day of where you go around, or do you get into a project and you specifically seek out inspiration, or you specifically go to areas where you think this needs to be about that, so I'm going to go there? Where does it, are you constantly looking for inspiration, or do you work on project basis?
It comes both ways.
Sure.
So there's my private practice. There's my, you know, a set of like what I'm working on right now.
Sure.
And then there's the commercial aspect of me as an artist, you know. So it's a balance. It's always about a balance. And in terms of inspiration, yeah, I mean, when you get a brief, you do seek out things, you know, because it's like a test, like, okay, or a pitch. I want this project, you know. So you kind of seek out things that maybe you can like get the project, you know. And then with my own work, yeah, anything, you know, it doesn't even have to be anything about art, you know. It could just be like watching a movie one night. There's a quote,
you know, there's a line, like, or a color,
yeah,
or
and then that quote relates to like, oh, this is actually really relevant to this painting I'm working on. So, and then you just keep adding these things because you're multitasking. You have all these things going on. Like for me, I have quite a few different painting techniques, visual style, and like I like having that. I like having something completely different. Like it's almost like I'm a chameleon, you know. And so as I'm living day by day, anything can feed into those different things. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Completely.
And so the way I take things is very spontaneous with my practice, and then with commercial projects, I do seek it out.
Sure.
And obviously, the more you know, the more pockets you have. You know, it's like a computer file. It's like, you know. A memory could be an inspiration, you know what I mean?
How do you deal with like things like, do you experience like self-doubt a lot? Like, or is it just, where's the mindset going now? Because everyone is self-conscious in a way.
Yeah. That's an interesting one. It's a bit of a mind game because I have to be confident when I need to, but I almost put myself in a situation where I should have self-doubt because that would make me push harder.
Push for your sake?
Yeah. It's about just playing a game of not being complacent. Because if you always like, I know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, I can't make it.
I'm going to kill this. Mm. It's important to have a level of that. But I think when you overdo it, you become an asshole.
Sure.
A little bit. And you kind of have this thing like where, because if you let that go sometimes and you'd be a little bit insecure, you kind of put yourself in a situation where you actually learn something completely new. Because like, I'm not so sure, so I'm going to just work a little bit harder. I'm just like going to do more research on this, you know. And I think that's something that I'm kind of exploring. Like I almost put myself in a situation where I want to be a complete unknown. You know, that, you know, like people talk about like, oh, you're an established artist, but what the hell does that mean?
Sure,
like,
sure.
When you're established, does it mean you stop chasing something? You know what I mean? Like, so going into this career, it's very important to just like, just be in the moment, keep. Yeah. And another thing is, I want to always be interested. You know, I don't want to be like, I've been painting all weekend. I mean, all week now, in the weekend, I don't want to paint. So if you have all these different things going on in your life, you're not going to be bored. And that's why I'm changing my styles all the time. I switch from one visual style to another simply because I don't want to get bored.
Fine. Don't want to go to the well too many times.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting actually, because I believe that, you know, with Glenfiddich, one of the things is about innovation. It's about experimentation, and that's it. You need to keep experimenting and to keep innovating to keep developing as an artist.
Yeah.
The term at Esquire, we use the term Maverick a lot, and this is the Maverick program. Now, what does that word mean to you?
It's a state of mind, man.
Sure. Far out, bro.
No, it is a state of mind because, yeah, it's cool to wear it, of course, but what is it? I mean, it's being authentic. It's being who you are, and I think all the experiences leading up to now, you know, define that. And so I can't just, I don't even know who I am, and because I don't want to know who I am all the time, because I want to have, I always say when you're traveling, you get to discover another version of you. To me, that's very interesting, because when you're doing the 9-to-5 day to day, you know who you are, like you're settled for you.
Sure.
But when you're traveling, especially when I do, I travel on my own, I let go of, you know, this
the structure.
No one knows who I am.
Sure.
I can be wherever I want to go. I can meet whoever. And that's when you discover who that other version of you. And for me, I think Maverick is about that as well. And to in order to do that, you have you have your individualism, but then you need to be around other people. You need to like, because if you're too much like just I'm just me, this is who I am, this is how I am, you know, you're gonna just not get influenced by other people that could, you know, keep building who you are as a Maverick.
Sure.
Does that all make sense?
100%. I agree with that. I think for me, a Maverick is someone who tends to listen to their gut more than what is expected of them. And I think that, you know, I've known you for a while, I think that very much kind of registers in your work and your ethos. I think you're right. I think, you know, as you said earlier, you know, it's about what's an established artist. Is it established and then you've won the game and that's it and thanks very much? Like
you're up there where?
Yeah, exactly. And do you have to continue to grow, because what else are you going to do with the next 40 years of your life, you know, if you're not growing and evolving?
Yeah, it is about longevity, because when I'm 50 or when I'm 60, I still want to be, I just have to be loving what I'm doing. You know, maybe I'm not a painter, maybe I'm making a movie, you know.
Sure.
So I want my journey leading up to, you know, whatever retirement means, is still having that hunger. And that's quite important as an artist to
going into the sleeve work that you were doing for the Grand Corona. Do you have a thing that you want people to take away from it? Is that how you approach art, or is it maybe just like you experience it and take away what you want from it? You have your own relationship with it. Do you want people to have their own relationship with it, or do you create stuff to transmit what your feelings? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I guess, I mean, like, I have a certain expectation of myself and how far I can push myself to create something, you know, that makes sense, or aesthetically, I'm happy with it. So I'm really, really picky in that sense. And also, I think for the sleeve, it's somewhat complex, but then I have to edit it down, and then, you know, the layering and stuff like that. So I have this expectation of what I want to see out of it, you know. And I think for other people, I think people see different things from it. Like, I mean, you know, some will just look at it, oh, it's beautiful. But then some, like, I think, you know, I want my friends to think that I've kind of, they can see me, you know. And I think friends that knows my work, they can see my my thought process, and when they talk to me and they tell me what they see, it's great, you know, because it's not what I saw. So yeah, I mean, I love that about creation, right? Everyone's got a different set of eyes.
No, well, look, I we very much kind of you know, we love the work, and we see you in it. And we hope to be seeing a lot more in the future. So Gary, thanks very much for giving up your time. I hope you enjoyed. Hope you enjoyed chatting.
Yeah, thanks for listening to my rambling.
No, mate. Honestly, any day of the week.
Good luck with editing it.
And that begins now.
Yeah.
No.
Thanks, really. Like, thanks for having me. It's been a good chat. Cheers, mate.
No worries.